chapter 6. And as you're turning there, let me say thank you so much for being here. We have a good number out tonight, and I appreciate so much your presence. I recognize that many of you have worked all day, or you've wrestled kids all day, and that's not lost on me. I understand that. And I appreciate so much the fact that you've chosen to be here and you're interested in spiritual things. God has a wonderful plan for the home, and if we'll just live by His will and live by His word, we can have biblical families and we can live the blessed life that Jesus has promised. My intention tonight is to move on. I'll tell you, I've had many requests to go back over a couple of the sermons that we've talked about over the last couple nights. Husbands wanted me to cover the wives once again, but I'm not going to do that. I want to go and move on a little bit here and talk about biblical children. While many of us are parents, all of us are children of someone. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, if you turn there, it'll be on the screen. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Now, I want you to remember what we've discussed over the last few nights and the fact that Paul has been showing how Christians can connect the dots between their relationship that they have with Jesus Christ and the relationships that they have within the home. Remember that we said following Jesus will make you a better parent. It will make you a better husband. It will make you a better wife. It will make you a better child. And so what's interesting in this particular portion of Scripture is that the Apostle Paul, in the midst of this letter, takes time out to address the children. He directly addresses them in the letter, and I think it's interesting of the fact that Paul assumed that the children would be in the worship assembly with the parents. They weren't off in kids' church. They were with the parents, watching the parents worship, and if they were old enough, they were participating in the worship service as well. But also what's interesting about this is that he gives the children a sense of dignity and respect. We've mentioned over the last couple of nights that in the Roman culture in which Paul wrote this letter, in that women were considered inferior to men, and that men were the head of the household, and that men were far above the women. Well, when it came to children, children didn't have any respect in the home either. It's not like it is today. The kids were not spoiled in any sense of the word. But yet Paul gives them a sense of respect, and he recognizes them in a formal way. And I think it stands to say tonight that nowhere in the Scripture are young Christians ever called the church of tomorrow. That's never said in the Scripture. Sometimes well-meaning people will, there'll be a young brother who stands up and leads the singing or he leads a prayer, and they'll say, "Well, he's doing a great job. He's the church of tomorrow." No, that young person is the church of today. If he's serving in that capacity, he is living in God's will. He is serving the church, and that is a wonderful thing. But because some of those children were a part of the church, the Holy Spirit wants to direct some words to them. God has some things to say to them. He has actually two words, two commands that I want us to consider tonight, little kids as well as big kids. First of all, as children, we are called to live under our parents. This command here is really a command that's given in particular to children who are still living under the authority of their parents in the home. The word obey, literally in the Greek, means to stand under. In fact, it is often used as a military term, and I think that's interesting that Paul would use this phrase, obey your parents, or stand under your parents, that Paul would use this particular military phrase. Because remember what we talked about at the beginning of our series. When Paul talks about marriage, when Paul talks about children, and he talks about parents, he wraps up the entire letter by reminding those Christians in Ephesus that their war was not between one another. It was not a battle between flesh and blood, but it was a battle between the unseen forces of evil. And he goes on to unpack that in many ways it's in the home where we really encounter the spiritual struggle against Satan. And so it's interesting that Paul stays with this military term when he talks about parents and children. And so here's what I want you to see. Children are not exempt from spiritual warfare. They're not exempt from the spiritual struggle. Look, our enemy, the devil, is ruthless. He is ruthless. He hates you. He doesn't want anything good for you in your life, and that includes children. And he is worthless. He will try to do whatever it is that he can do to even destroy children. And yet God has done something wonderful for children. God has given parents to children to serve as their commanding officers so that they can grow up and so that they can be guided in a way in which they can win the struggle against the enemy. Listen, children, following the instruction of your parents will protect you from a lot of bad choices in your life. It can affect the quality of your life, and as we'll see in the text, it can even affect the length of your life. And this is what some of what Paul has to say in verse 2. But parents are given the authority over their children. And here's something that authority does, and we'll talk about more in a moment. But authority promotes life and growth. When authority is present in the home, when there are boundaries set for children in the home, it is a good thing because it's there where children can flourish, where children can grow, where life can continue to blossom if they have someone who is leading over them. Now, I know that at times, young people, it seems as though your parents are not out to promote life and growth. I know that at times it seems as though your parents want to make you miserable, and the last thing they want you to be is cool, it seems like. And so because of that, have you ever said this? I can't wait to get out of my home when I don't have to listen and do anything that anybody tells me to do. You ever say that? You get mad at your parents and you make that statement. And you say, I can't wait to get on my own where I can finally do what I want to do and I don't have to answer to anyone. I've been out of the house 13 years and I still answer to people. Just because I got out of the authority of my parents' home, I still live under the authority of the shepherds of the congregation where I'm a member of. I still live under the authority of the government. And so we always are living under the authority, and we must submit in regards to our relationships, even in marriage. Remember what Paul said in verse 21 of chapter 5, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And when a husband submits to his wife, he shows that submission through his love for her. It's displayed that way. And so children are commanded to be under the authority of their parents. And here's the point. If we don't get our relationship right with our parents, then we are likely not going to get any other relationship right in life either. I don't think it's going too far to say this principle of living under your parents is the key to every other relationship that you will have in life. When a person grows up and they live under the authority of their parents, submitting to their parents, and they have that foundation of authority, they will grow up to respect their teachers. They will grow up to respect their employers. They will grow up to respect the government. But if a child doesn't learn respect and authority in the home, he or she is very unlikely to respect anyone else's life, authority, or reputation. But beyond even that, even beyond respecting authority later on in life, living under our parents' authority prepares us for living under the authority of God. You see, here's the deal. A child who will not obey a parent who he can see is not very likely to obey a God that he cannot see. But you see, on the flip side of that, when children are obeying their parents, they are ultimately obeying and revering Christ. Again, Ephesians 5:21 is such a key verse. A lot of times in that section, we start at verse 22, but verse 21 is so key. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Look, when a child submits and obeys their parents, they are in fact obeying Jesus. Think about that, young people. When you do what your parents have commanded or asked you to do, you are doing what Jesus wants you to do. You are following your Lord and Master. And that's a really good thing, even though it may appear as though it's a struggling thing to obey Mom and to listen to Dad. Look, God sees your obedience. God is pleased with your obedience when you live under the authority of your parents. And He'll bless you for that. But number two, we are called to lift up our parents. Not only are we called to live under our parents, we're called to lift up our parents. The Hebrew word for honor, which is given in Exodus chapter 20, with the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother, that word honor in the Hebrew means to carry great weight or weightiness. And so honoring parents is to measure their value as great weight. It's just like the scales were used to determine how much gold and how much value was there with gold. The more it weighed, obviously, the more it was worth. And so the Jews felt to honor people is to respect them, who are people who carry a great deal of weight in your life. So Paul is repeating this command, and he's saying, listen, children, give your parents great weight. Lift them up. Respect them. Look, it's important for children to obey their parents, but beyond that obedience, there has to be some respect shown there. A child can obey their parents. A child can go and clean the room and make their bed, and they can do it in such a way where there is no respect shown to their parents. But God calls obedience to be carried out with respect. Now, here's the problem with that, I think, in our society, though. We tend to give respect, and we tend to lift people up who we think deserve it. In athletics, we give out trophies like the Heisman, or we give out awards such as MVP because that athlete has performed something that they are due that award. Or politicians are rewarded by being in positions of authority. We honor people in the business world with awards. But God says we don't honor our parents just because of what they have done. We honor our parents simply because of who they are. And I realize that tonight, for some of you, that may be a very difficult thing for you to accept. But God didn't say honor your parents if they are honorable. Nowhere does He say that respect must be earned before you give it. It does not say that in the text. God calls us to honor our parents simply because they are our parents. Nowhere in this command does it tell us to honor them because they are great parents or because they always let us do what we wanted them to do. No, we are to honor them. We are to give them great weight. We are to lift them up simply because of the position that they hold in our lives. So here's how I want to end the lesson tonight. I want to give you a few ways in how we can lift up our parents or how we can honor our parents. Number one. To honor your parents, you can humbly accept their God-given roles. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says, hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Look, our parents are called to serve as our authority figures for our sake, for our good, for our benefit. Actually, turn to Luke chapter 2. Let's look at this passage. Because it's interesting that even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to submit to the authority of His parents. In Luke chapter 2, we can read about this, and you're familiar with the story of when Jesus was left in Jerusalem and He was in the temple. And His parents came in to find Him, and that must have been quite a conversation that His parents had with Him. But it says in Luke chapter 2, after He left Jerusalem in verse 51, He went down with them and came to Nazareth, and He was submissive to them. And His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Notice that Jesus lived under the authority of his parents, and it says in verse 52, he grew. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Remember I said what the role of authority is in the home? When boundaries are set, it promotes an environment of life and growth. That's exactly what happened for Jesus. Even though his parents were far from perfect, the perfect one grew under the authority of his parents. Jesus was submissive to them. They weren't perfect parents, but yet Jesus accepted their God-given role. Well, how do you do that? Well, I think number two starts. You can value their advice. Another way that we do this is that we listen to our parents when they offer advice. Proverbs chapter 23 at verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life. Or Proverbs 13 at verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instructions. Now that's not always an easy thing to do because there are times in our life where we think that our parents don't know much of anything at all. That's the way it works in life. I love the old bulletin article. You've probably heard it, but I want to share it with you. It talks about how children go through different stages in their attitude toward mom and dad. Age 4, my parents can do anything. Age 8, there might be one or two things they don't know. Age 15, naturally, my parents just don't understand. Age 21, you would expect them to feel that way. They're old-fashioned and out of date. Age 25, they come up with a good idea every now and then. Age 30, I wonder what mom and dad would do. Age 40, let's be patient. Let's discuss this with our parents. Age 50, I wonder what mom and dad would have thought about this. And age 60, I wish I could talk it over with them just one more time. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I was like most teenagers. Sorry, mom and dad, I didn't think you knew much of anything when I was a teenager. But I've come to learn that there are some things that you cannot learn from an education, but you can learn through living, you can learn through experience, but the key is, you can learn from someone else's experience. So we honor our parents by realizing how valuable their guidance is. And it is valuable. After all, they've experienced more than we have. They've been there, they've done that, they've bought the t-shirt, so to speak. Sometimes I hear young people say, well, I just need to do this for myself. I need to learn from my own mistakes. That's foolish. Don't buy into that, young people. That's not the case. We do not have to make our own mistakes to learn. We can listen to the advice of our parents. They know more than you. They know more than you. They can see more than you can see. They know the dangers of the friends that you choose. They know who you're dating, and they can see the dangers possibly of who you're dating. They know the decisions that you make will lead you down the wrong path. And when a parent grabs you and says, listen, I want to tell you where this is heading. I want to tell you where this relationship is heading. You need to stop. And you need to listen. You need to value their advice. Because always understand that a godly parent is always looking out for your best interest. Always looking out for your best interest. They want what will draw you closest to God. They're trying to keep you from drawing farther away from God. And so we need to benefit from the lessons that parents have learned before us. And so we're called to give honor to our parents. Let's trust their wisdom, trust their experience, and value their advice. Number three, you can lift up your parents by just simply letting them know that you appreciate their efforts. I think even without the Bible telling us, there's just some things that we know are proper. There's some things that we know to just be right. And surely one of those things is to show honor to our parents because of the things that they have done for us. At the very least, they fed you breakfast, they gave you lunch, they made sure that your cavities were filled, they nursed you when you were sick, they put through a great deal of effort and time into raising you. And so God says, honor your parents, lift up your parents, it's the right thing to do. And even after children have grown up and they have families of their own, they still have a responsibility to honor their parents. And we'll say more about that. But there's a verse in Proverbs 23 at verse 22 that says, when your mother is old, show her appreciation. I don't suggest that you go home and call your mother old tonight. But one version says, don't despise. So it says, when your mother is old, show her appreciation. So tell your mother, tell your parents that you appreciate the time and the effort that they put into raising you that allowed you to be in the position that you are in life right now. Now, the Bible doesn't say that parents are perfect. Parents are not perfect. But for all the things that may have been lacking, God says that we should let our parents know that we appreciate all they did for us. I researched recently the cost of raising a child. And I really hate to relay this number to you, but this includes paying for public college, and it is over $300,000 to raise a child to the age of 18 and to send them to college. So we should let our parents know that we appreciate everything they've done for us. I tell you, being a parent is the hardest job I have ever had. I told somebody the other day, I thought when you had a baby, you just fed it, you put it to sleep, and you gave it some food every now and then, and they'd be happy. Well, it doesn't work that way. I heard someone say, being a parent is the hardest job you will ever love. It's the hardest job you'll ever have. It's difficult. It's costly, not only in terms of finances, but in terms of energy and time and emotion. And I know that parents sometimes agonize over decisions that they've made in the past over their parenting. And some parents wish they could go back and say that in this situation, I would have done this differently, and maybe this child would have turned out differently, and he would have went in this direction, or she would have went this way. But we need to let our parents know that even through their mistakes, even through their bad decisions with us, we still appreciate their efforts and that they did the best that they could. Number four, you can honor your parents by meeting their needs. There will come a time in most of our lives where our parents will have to be cared for like they cared for us. I find it interesting that in John chapter 19, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, he gave some specific instructions. In John chapter 19, in verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Verse 27, then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Jesus, even on the cross, this is incredible, had the presence of mind to make sure that his mother was going to be cared for, that her needs were going to be met. 1 Timothy chapter 5 at verse 4 says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." And so honoring our parents, among other things, includes providing for them when they can no longer provide for themselves. Do you notice what Paul says here in this text? That you can make some return, or your version may say that you can repay them. Well, you may not be able to ever repay all of the dollars that they spent on you, but one way you can start that repayment is that you can take care of their physical needs when the time comes. In Mark chapter 7, if you turn your Bible there, I want you to notice something that Jesus dealt with in his teaching. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus told some of the Pharisees in verse 8 of Mark chapter 7, "You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban,' that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down and many such things that you do." So the Pharisees had come up with a loophole, they thought, that they could get out of repaying their parents and honoring their parents. They could say, well, if I have something, I've declared it Corban, or I've given it to God. And so when the time comes for them to help their parents, they say, I can't do it. I've dedicated it to God. And so their tradition was being allowed to cancel out the primary command of God to honor your father and your mother. But in this text, the reason why I read this is that Jesus makes it perfectly clear that honoring your parents includes financial support of them when it's needed. Now, I'm not saying that you go home tonight and you tear up your Social Security check and you don't cash it any longer. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that the chief agency of providing for our parents is not the government. It is our families. It is the children. Just as it's not the government's job to take care of our children, it is our duty and it is our job to make sure that our parents' needs are met. But just like we were talking earlier, we can have obedience with respect. And even when it comes to parents and us meeting their needs, there can be money thrown at a parent to help them meet their physical needs. But behind that giving of financial needs, needs to be love. There needs to be love there. There can never be that substitute for love. Parents, elderly parents, need to know that they are not an imposition. They need to know that they are not a burden. They need to know that you care about them. They need for you to take some time out of your busy life to care for them and to let them know that you honor them. That's another way we can lift up our parents. But another way, number five, you can lift up your parents by extending them grace. Just because you become a parent doesn't mean that you stop being a sinner. And I say that because I think it's important for our children to know that just as they need Jesus, we need Jesus as well. We need Jesus as much as they do. And even when parents try their best, we will still make mistakes from time to time. We will still sin and even pile on top of all the failures, not just with our children, but all the failures that we have from time to time in just being a disciple of Jesus. We still need to realize that our parents are sinners. And I think this is extremely important because I feel pretty certain that there are some people here tonight who have some real pain when it comes to the subject of parents. You have real pain. You have perhaps some real bitterness in your heart. Or perhaps you have pain and bitterness together because you've been deeply, deeply hurt. And it seems as though that you had some parents, by their actions, they didn't have your best interest at heart. Perhaps some of you here tonight grew up in a home where terrible evils, where horrific sins were committed against you by the people that God had given you to you to be entrusted to them. I don't want you to think that God is saying tonight, just get over it, ignore the pain, deny that it ever happened. But perhaps there needs to be some confronting of your parents. Maybe you need to discuss the pain and the bitterness that you have in hopes that you can work through that pain and heal that relationship. But for some, that conversation's not possible. That reconciliation is not possible. Maybe it's because your parents have passed away, or maybe because they're unwilling to accept the sins that they've committed in the relationship. If that is your case, let me encourage you tonight to pray. Let me encourage you to pray to God that you will not allow your life to be controlled by bitterness, because if your life is controlled by bitterness, by what your parents have done to you, there is a deadly cycle that will occur in your family where that bitterness will be passed down to your children. Don't allow that to happen. Pray to God. Draw closer to God. David said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me, in Psalm 27 at verse 10. So I want you to see tonight in closing that this command is of honoring your father and mother is so special that it has a promise attached to it. And the promise is that your days may be long upon the land in which the Lord your God is giving you. That's simply to say that not only how you treat your parents impacts them, but how you treat your parents impacts you. And so it's important for us to honor our parents and to honor them now. Because the day is going to come when we're not going to be able to honor our parents. We're not going to be able to show them love and respect. Some of you here tonight don't have your parents with you any longer. And I hope that you don't have to look back on your life and regret a time when you have the opportunity to tell your father that you love him or to tell your mother how much you love and appreciate her. If you still have your parents with you, spend time with them. Let them know how much you love them and how much you appreciate their efforts. But on another note that will kick us off tomorrow night, this is really a challenge to parents. Be honorable. Even though it isn't based on your worthiness, you still need to live a life, parents, where we make it easy for our children to honor and respect us. Where we need to live a respectful life, where we model the Christian values and we model what it's like to live under the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's what I'm saying tonight. Make family a priority. Make family a priority, because the reality of the matter is, mom and dad aren't going to be around forever. Children, perhaps, might not be around forever. And so let's use the opportunity that God is blessing us with right now and right here to let all of our family know how much we love and how much we appreciate them. I hope you can come back tomorrow night. We'll finish the series by talking about biblical parents and how we can raise these children in the Lord. If you're here tonight, we never want to close the service by issuing the invitation and telling you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is the good news that Jesus came to this earth. He died for your sins upon the cross. He was buried, but 3 days later, he rose from the grave, never to die again. We sing the song, "I serve a risen Savior." That's what sets Jesus apart from any other religious founder in this world. Jesus is the Son of God, and he proved it by his resurrection. And Jesus says that if you'll submit to him, if you'll live by his commands and live for him, you can live with him for all eternity. What's needed is your response, an obedient response, repenting of your sins. That is, make a clean break from your life of sin and turn to God and start living for him. If you're willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can become a New Testament Christian tonight and have an incredible promise. Don't wait. Come forward right now while we stand and sing.